How do you displace the spirit of heaviness? Or how do you replace the spirit of heaviness? By, I trade my sorrow for the joy of the Lord. How do you displace the orphan spirit? You do that by introduce an orphan to a father or to a mother. So I challenge you this week. I'm going to send it out, email or on our Facebook and our webpage. I'm going to challenge you to encourage you to read the stories. Why did Jesus come? It's not like we don't know it. We know why. But this week again, I was reading Mark, Luke, and John, and I was reminded again that the Son of God came to destroy the work of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy the work of the enemy. Can anybody help me? Do we know the work of the enemy? What does Satan do? Very good. What is he so good at? By the way, let's dismiss the children. Thank you, Kelly and Melissa, for what you do. And yeah. So, help me out again. Satan, kill, steal, and destroy. You know, this week, I was reading Mark. I read Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark chapter 14, man, I wish I had enough time to go over Mark chapter 14. I wish I had like 2.5 hours for us to just read it, sit down, and go over it verse by verse. It's so rich. And I encourage you, read Mark chapter 14. Read Matthew 26. Read John chapter 12. Jerry read part of it this morning earlier. Read Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. I'll post those online later for you guys. You can, but take time. Read the Bible. Read those verses. That will remind you again, Easter has nothing to do with the Easter eggs or the bunny. It's good. It's fun. It's good, you know, get the kids to look for the eggs and stuff. But that's not what it's about. Nor the Easter dresses. Nor the looking pretty on the outside. Christ came to set us free. You know, and from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this morning I took I was just like, Lord, what do you want? What do you want, Lord God? I think this week was one of the hardest week for me to prepare a sermon. Because I'm like, okay, Easter. You know, Easter week, Palm Sunday. God, what do you want them to hear? It's like I was struggling all week. I thought I had this. Then by Wednesday, I had something else. By Friday, I had something else. And then by yesterday, I got it. So the title of my message this morning is The Alabaster Jar Principle. It's a principle that I found with the lady that encountered Jesus. Now, if you open your Bibles with me, in Matthew chapter 26, let's go ahead. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Your word is truth, and your word has everything we need to equip us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and to teach us how to live a life of godliness. Thank you, Father. You found it? It says, when Jesus was at Bethany, a guest, I'm reading from the message, okay? A guest of Simon the leper. A woman came up to him as he was eating dinner and anointed him with a bottle of very expensive perfume. I want you to remember this. A bottle of very expensive perfume. When the disciples saw what was happening, they were furious. They got mad. It's just like, they're like, what a waste. I like the message here. It says, that's criminal. Such a waste.
an expensive perfume. The lady just came in, broke the bottle at the feet of Jesus. They thought this could have been sold for a lot of money, handed out to the poor. When Jesus realized what was going on, he intervened. Now remember, they weren't talking, the disciples weren't talking out loud. And the Bible says the disciples, it was more like Judas Iscariot. He was a thief. He was just thinking. God knows our thoughts. He said, even as you're sitting right here, God knows you. You cannot hide from him. You see, religion makes us always afraid of the altar. All right? Religious make people think, well, the altar is a place of condemnation. It's a place when people come to the altar, you're broken. See, that's all new Old Testament stuff. The altar is the place of restoration. The altar is the place of love. So when I come, that's why, I mean, I don't know, you guys, sometimes you're very timid. And I know even at other churches, when there's an altar call, you know, you're like, well, I don't want to go forward. People are going to think I'm messed up. Let me tell you this. I'm messed up. You messed up. We all messed up. Can I have a witness? I am messed up. You all messed up. We all messed up. And I told you this already. I'm going to repeat it. Don't listen to any preacher or priest that tells you they're in heaven. As long as they're still here, breathing, they're still on earth. They're dealing with the same thing you're dealing with. But they have to make a choice. So this woman here, she came to the altar. And the altar is where Jesus is. Let's keep reading. Jesus said, the word says, when he realized what was going on in their mind, he said, why are you giving this woman a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives, but not me. When she poured this perfume on my body, what she really did was anoint me for burial. You can be sure that everywhere in the world, the message is preached, what she has just done is going to be remembered and admired. Now, I know this, the message version sometimes can be very different. Because the Message Bible, one of the reasons I like it, it doesn't sound as religious as the others. Now, I'm going to go jump to Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 3, it says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar or box, I don't know what your version says, of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. They're like, once again, furious. Man, that's criminal. Such a waste. They said it could have been sold for a year's wages. Now I want you to picture that with me. We all need money. We all use money. We need money to pay our bills. We need money to live. And all of us, depending on what you study, what your profession is, you have a certain amount. You know, we all face it, you know. Depending on what kind of life you want to live, that's why some people have two jobs. Or both, you know, both husband and wife are working, you know, because you want to live comfortably, right? So I want you to imagine with me a year, your comfortable yearly wage. You know, I did some research from 5 years ago till today. The average yearly salary was, I don't know if you guys know it, it was from 50 to 115,000. So let's put it in the middle. Let's say 65,000. So 65,000, somebody's worth, and she bought it at the feet of Jesus. Think a little bit with me right there. It could have been sold. That right there could have been sold. Do you know how much good we can do with $65,000? If we're putting money into the mindset, we're going to use the money for the glory of God. You know, Judas, he wasn't really thinking about the glory of God because he was a thief. He was stealing. I encourage you to read Mark chapter 14. When you keep reading, you're going to realize Judas, he betrayed Jesus. And a lot of time, people put a lot of emphasis on the fact that Judas betrayed Jesus, but at the garden, everyone left Jesus. It was unfortunate for Judas, but read it. Think about it, you know, take time this week, meditate on it, and the Holy Spirit will teach you the things you need to know. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such good things to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." And this morning I was just like, man, this week I was thinking, for the whole year, I never talk about this woman. The Bible says every time, but then something I realized also this week, every week I talk about the principle of the alabaster jar. My French wants to kick in, all right? Alabaster jar. Okay? So, let's go to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Okay? So it says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Now I want you to picture with me a Pharisee. The Bible that didn't say the guy came to Christ yet. A Pharisee invited Jesus to his home. And remember, a Pharisee back in those days were very religious. And women didn't have access where every time men gathered. Jesus is the one that came and said, "Hey, guys, you don't get it. There's no difference between men and women. We're all the same." I mean, even after the Holy Spirit came, the religious people were still trying to keep the women out. Some of them even go ahead and say, well, remember, Paul said women's not supposed to teach. Women's not supposed to, and I know certain religion, they don't allow women to speak. So Jesus only died for the men, right? No. Jesus died for us all, women and men, slaves and free, talls and short, big and skinny, red, black, how does it so? Yellow, red, black and white, yeah, precious in his sight. Yellow, black, doesn't matter. God sees us all the same. So I want you to picture, imagine the setting. Simon's house, a bunch of religious people with the disciples and Jesus. When a certain immoral woman came, that city heard she was eating there, she bought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt before him. I want you to picture that. She knelt before him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. She wiped them off with her hair. Now I come to realize you don't mess with a woman's hair. Rightly so. You know, you don't mess with a woman's hair. It's her beauty, it's her veil. She takes good care of it. That's why I find out it's also very hard when a woman is losing her hair. Because a lot of the time, rightly so, a woman's identity or self-beauty comes from, first of all, her face and her head. Am I wrong, ladies? No? I've got three women. I had three, my wife and two of my girls. I've seen it. And I have one of my girls, she's a cosmetologist, man. It's like, wow. The hair is amazing. Now I want you to imagine this woman here in the Bible verse right here. She knelt at the feet of Jesus. Of course, she's crying. We don't know if she's crying, not yet, if she's crying for joy, sorrow. We don't know what she's going through, but she's crying. Not only that, I mean, she's crying so good or hard that her tears, there's enough tears to wet Jesus' feet. And on top of it, she's using her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. I want you to keep that picture in your mind. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, once again, in his mind, he's thinking. What did he say? If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman who's touching him. You see, but then the Pharisee, one thing he failed to understand is that woman has broken any barriers. So the women had no barriers. Anything that could stop her from coming or reach Jesus Christ at that moment to encounter Christ, she broke it. You see, there's another verse in the Bible that says, Jesus said, I didn't come for the well, people that are well. I didn't come for the healthy people. See, there is something when you acknowledge your need for Christ. We sang earlier, Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And I pray that today you will understand that Christ is enough. But let's look at this again. The men that invited, the Pharisees that invited Jesus said in his mind, man, if this man was truly a prophet, he would know this woman is an immoral woman. See, that's what religion does with us. Religion wants to keep certain people out and open a little crack to allow a certain others in. So therefore, in our religious mindset, we perform so we could get in. But what we fail to understand is Jesus knows us. Jesus sees our hearts. That's why people in church, you see their life. When you look at their life, you look at, where's the power? Where's the power that raised Christ from the dead? Where's the power that delivers? When people operate in a religious mindset, most of the time they think Jesus don't see them. But then the pastor does. So when they're going to see the pastor, they behave. Morning, Pastor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know? Let me tell you. Most of you here, I only see you right now. I pray for you. Some of you kept me up at night. I worry. But sometimes I just rest my case before the Lord. I'm like, Jesus, only you can do it. Guys, Jesus is coming back. And there is no time to be playing religion. What is your most valuable thing in your life right now? What's keeping you from coming? What's keeping you from coming and lavishing it on at the feet of the Lord? What's keeping you? What's keeping you? What's holding you back? What's holding you back? And I want you to picture with me that woman. She had every excuse not to come. In a room full of religious people. In a room full of men. She had every reason. But look what she did. And that's what I want. I'm like, God, that's what I want. I want this. I want the heart of this woman. The principle of the alabaster jar, where I break every barrier. I break every barrier. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I don't care if I'm going to look stupid coming to church. Be like, how great is our God. I pray that the spirit of freedom would change this place. I pray that the spirit of freedom would rock your world here in this church. Because you cannot do anything for me. At the end of the day, you cannot save me. At the end of the day, you cannot forgive my sin. You can't even take me to heaven. I read this. I'm like, oh God. The principle of the alabaster jar. This woman. Do this to us, Lord. Give us a heart. I mean, why do I'm like, okay. The last Friday of the month. Church, let's come together and see God. You see how easy it is to not have a passion for God? I mean, those that are trying, it's hard. I can't even tell when you're not trying. That's why if you're hungry for God, if you have that little desire, find people or find a community, find a church or, a community that's going after God. It's not about the program. I don't want another service. Why would I want to do another service? It's work. But I know when we all encounter Jesus, when we all get to that place, all walls are down. Den doesn't have to tell you to dance. There's freedom in the Lord. You know, there's a song, I was thinking about it the other day, the song that says, I feel like dancing. You know, that's the song we sing. How does it go? I feel like dancing. How does it go? Okay, so what's I could sing of your love forever. That's a good example. I could sing of your love forever. You know, it's like you come. I'm talking about expression of worship, and I'm gonna help you out, guys. Blow that box sometimes when you come to church doing service here, because we say Quinn said it earlier. It's a place for freedom. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Forever, good song. I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. Repeat. I feel like dancing. depending on the worship leader, you might sit there for a little bit. Let's repeat that. I feel like dancing. You know, and we're so hypocrite, we're singing it, right? I feel like dancing. We better not sing that. Because sometimes you might not feel like dancing. But I told you at the beginning, the best thing you can do to displace the spirit of heaviness is, I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. When the world has come to know, he's done his joy, like I'm dancing. I feel like dancing. I feel like dancing. What am I doing? I don't feel like dancing. But I know the power there is. I know how to displace the spirit of heaviness. You're like, well, man, the spirit, I'm a very calm person. Let me tell you this. The spirit of the Lord gives boldness. The spirit God gives doesn't make you shy or shrinking. You know, I'm so timid. No, I don't want to look at anybody. No. If you ask people that knew me 25 years before, from here, Kendra, I can tell you. Some of you cannot imagine it. I was a very timid man, young boy. Because when I was growing up, my father, God bless him, he crushed our spirit. He was abusive physically, emotionally. So we grew up feeling worthless. We were smart at school, but nobody ever told us they loved us. They didn't have time for that stuff. They fed you, sent you to school, spank you, sleep, yell at you, beat you up sometimes. So I grew up with a spirit of, I'm timid, I'm not worth anything. Until that day, I encountered Jesus. I encountered Jesus through his word. And I start reading the Bible. You know, I read the Bible. The Bible. I read it. You know, I read the Bible. And then I realized, oh, God loves me unconditionally. Jesus is awesome. And then my identity changed. Because I remember the first day. Kendra can tell you, testify. I was a musician at church. I love music. So at our church, I offered myself to help play the guitar. And I was playing, guys. I'm playing in the worship team. Can you imagine? I'm playing the guitar with Dan over here. And then as soon as the pastor stepped forward to give the benediction, the blessing, I set my guitar out. I put the guitar and I quit, man. I went. You know why? I didn't want to touch anybody. I didn't want to give handshake. I didn't want to talk to anybody. When I came to church, as a matter of fact, I just came to play. I don't want to talk with anybody. And if you're like this here today, let me tell you this. There's hope. When you encounter Jesus, that spirit of timidity, that spirit of shame, that spirit that makes you think, well, nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. You know, I met somebody a couple weeks ago, and I tell him, I said, dude, I love you. He said, really? He said, why would you love me? I said, because you're awesome. He said, what have I done to be awesome? I said, you see, this is where our mind's all messed up. We think we have to do something for us to be accepted. That's why social media is a good thing, but it's destroying a whole generation. Because people associate self-worth with like. The people behind the screen, they don't like you. They don't care about you. As a matter of fact, try fast social media for 3 weeks, see who contacts you. You have 3,000 followers, right? There's a challenge for you. Try it for 3 weeks. Get off. See who sent your text. After 3 weeks, go on there and see who inboxed you. They don't care. They don't care. This is my heart for this church. It's my passion. I'm like, Lord, allow us. Give us a fresh revelation of the alabaster jar so we could understand no one can save us. No one can help us. You know, these women, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us who she was. You know, when I read the Bible, I went over. I mean, this is just one picture I looked in trying to come up with. something that would kind of describe what we're talking about. But, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us who she was. Most commentaries kept her remain nameless. But although there is one commentary that says she was Mary. You remember Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus? Lazarus, who died, and Jesus went to their house a week later and rose him from the dead 4 days after he was passed. Now remember, there's another story in John where Jesus went and visited Martha and Lazarus and Mary. So Mary, when she find out Jesus just showed up. You know, sometimes you know those guests that just showed up in your home and you didn't have time to get ready or to really deep clean the house. You know, because sometimes, you know, when we receive guests, at the best time to go to your friend's house is when they're least expecting it. Because you can really tell if they're messy people. Because when the home group's coming to my home, guess what I do? I get time to, I mean, not necessarily me, but my wife and the kids. I don't want to lie. I don't want to lie. Man, I would not, if I would have gone that way, I would go home. I would never stop hearing about it. That was not right. Yes, guys, I'm not the one who cleans. They clean it, okay? All right. So I got that straight. But, you know, and it's just like some of us, we don't want home groups to, we don't want the cell group to meet at your home because you think your home is filthy. But it's time for you to clean your home, live in a clean house. But the best thing, you know, Christ, the best thing in that story, Jesus showed up at Mary and Martha's house. And then Martha freaked out like all of us would. Martha's like, oh, come on, master. Man, Jesus, you can't do that. Come on, Jesus. Please, Lord, before you come, at least you would send us a text. You know? Jesus, you know, Facebook messages, you know? I'm on my way, you know? There was no such a thing. Jesus, like, told the disciples, hey, guys, let's go visit Lazarus. See how he's doing after he rose them from the dead. See how he's doing. And Martha, I mean, she was going crazy cleaning up the house. You know, man, Jesus, man, I can't believe it. Lord, you can't do that, man. Mary, come on, help me out. What did Mary do? Jesus was sitting, visiting with Lazarus. Mary sat at the feet of Christ. You know, Jesus was probably talking with Lazarus, asking him, you know, how you doing, man? How you feeling? You know, are you good? And Lazarus going around and telling him stories. And Mary's just like, what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting, enjoying, you know, with a smile on her face. Enjoying it. Jesus. And Martha start getting frustrated. And, you know, it's crazy. That's the attitude you and I, we get in our busy life. We want to impress Jesus in our busy life. And finally, Martha, she had the courage to be like, Jesus, come on now. You don't care that I'm doing all this to make sure the house is representable? The house is nice? And then Jesus, you know the answer. Jesus said, Martha, man, why are you killing yourself? Why are you worrying for the wrong thing? He said, there's one thing that's important. And Mary has found it. What is it? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, as a worship leader, I spent time in the sanctuary. I spent time in my Bible. Sometimes I come here. Sometimes I don't feel like doing it. But I know the importance. I know the benefit there is with my Bible and Jesus in the quiet. Because you will have time for whatever is important to you. There's never an excuse for when it comes to do the things that are important to you. I told you last week, If you value the word of God, you read it. If you value morality, you'll be a moral person. If you value the law, you will obey it. If you value your marriage, you will stay faithful in your marriage. If you value your body, your physical body, you will take care of it. If you value community, well, guess what? You will find a home group, you will find a church that's kingdom-minded. You know, some of us here today might not have grown up in a religious community, or you might not have religious background, or whatever your background is. Maybe growing up, the charismatic type of worship scares you. You know the charismatic kind of worship? Like where they have praise break. Praise break. Praise break. You know those worship? Man, I tell you, I love those praise break. You know? Where you get to. What song did we sing the first song? We sing, or even ding, ding, da. Ding, ding. We're going to sing it next week, okay? It's not we will walk you, okay? But that's how it goes, right? And then, you know, who says church should be boring? That's why people want to go to the club. They want to go and have a good time. You see, the crazy thing is when you drink, that good time you're feeling is only temporary. But when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when we come here on Friday nights and there is praise break, praise, praise, everybody's enjoying, you know. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. You know, you giving yourself into praise. Why so downcast on my soul? Praise the Lord. Put all your hope in God. How do you displace a spirit of heaviness? Well, you praise. God does not give us a spirit that makes us timid. You know, the lesson from this woman, is tremendous. She gave herself, right? I already talked about that. What's in alabaster jar in the Bible? It's something that was built. With stone. It was something special. Let me ask you this morning. What is something special in your heart? What is the most valuable thing in your life? I know what it is for me. It's my heart. My heart is the most valuable thing. You know why? Because the word says wherever your heart is, there your treasure will be. So where is your heart? Where is your heart today? Is it your children? Is it your finance? Is it the pain you're going through? The troubles, or is it our bank account or our career? What is it? What's preventing you from breaking that box? What's preventing you from breaking that jar? You see, the woman, she bought her most valuable thing. Her devotion. She was devoted. She really didn't care. What other thing? And I pray today that all of us, we would get to the place where you stop caring or worry about others think on the way you worship God. You know, I invite all of us to be free people. Don't worry about what they think. I already told you, after Jesus, I'm the pastor here. Jesus is the lead pastor. I'm the second. And I tell you, when you come here, you can dance, you can jump, you can wool down, you can do whatever you want to do. There's no judgment. You know, I can't wait. I know you guys used to do that, but I can't wait for somebody that would be willing to do flags. You know, just do the flags during worship. You know, or dancers. I know we used to have dancers here. I call them. I said, Lord, thank you for those dancers. Thank you for a praise break where we just go around and just focus on praising the Lord, having a good time. You know how it is. You know, we were at you guys' house for Sam's birthday. We were having a good time, man. That's what you have called about, good time. Karaoke, all right? Karaoke. I love karaoke. You just go and have a good time, right? That's why I don't like religion, because religion makes us stiff. Religion puts us in a box. Religion kept people out. But then Jesus, what does he do? He makes it welcome. He makes everybody welcome. You know, that lady took something that represents everything that she is and threw it at the feet of Jesus. My challenge for you guys, as we enter the week of Easter, I'm encouraging you to throw everything you own at the feet of Jesus. It might be your pride. Might be your pride. You know, physically, you might not be able to kneel down. But I think there's something in the lowest of the lowest place. And when you lay down, you can't get any lower. There's something about being in the presence of the Lord on your knees. You know, it's good stretching too. Yeah, I'm serious. It's good stretching. Some of you are very stiff. But there's nothing like, there was a time I couldn't do this. You know? But there's nothing like being down. Or, you know, or even with your Bible, you're like, you know, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Jesus. What do you worship? What do you worship? What's holding you back? You know, maybe some of us, we grew up in a Catholic mindset. You know, I mean, God bless the Catholics, and I think and I believe there are good Christian Catholics out there. But I also know there's a lot of religion in it. And I don't say that to judge them. I say that with compassion. The Bible says to confess our sins to one another. But believe me, you don't need the priest, because Jesus is your high priest. What's your barrier? What's holding you? You know, I said maybe the charismatic style of worship scares you, but I'm challenging you. You know, learn to raise your voice. I mean, hands. The trees, that's what they do. I like palm trees. Palmetto trees, you know? You know, Jerry told me there's a verse in Revelation, there's palm trees in heaven. I'm like, man, no wonder I love palm trees. Yeah, which chapter is that? Seven. There's palm trees. You know, there's nothing like, you know, blue sky and palm and the winds blowing. It's amazing. Florida palm trees. Do we have palm trees around here? Certain places? I need to, please send me where they are, because I need to go look at them. I love palm trees. I need to find that place here in Virginia Beach where they've got palm trees. You know, all of us, we love different trees. My tree is palm tree, because that's what I grew up having. She was not conscious anymore of the faces that were around the room. See, the women didn't care about what they, not only what they would say, but how their face were. Remember when they said, man, that's criminal. What a waste. What a waste. That's why when you come in the presence of the Lord, if you feel like crying, of course, I invite you to cry. You know, but on the other hand, I was thinking about this right there. And I know there are places where they do stuff with no order. The house of the Lord, there's order. God is a God of order. You know, I don't know if you've ever been into a service where it's charismatic. And it's charismatic, but chaos. It's like there's no order. I mean, everybody's screaming. Everybody, I mean, it's sometimes the preacher step up there. It's like, all right, God bless you, everybody. Everybody's screaming. No, that's not what we're talking about. There's order in God. But there's freedom for you to express yourself. You see, the story of this woman teaches the principle to remove every barriers. I don't know your barriers. You know them. I don't know what's holding you from spending quality time with God. And let me tell you this. The amount of time you come here on Sunday morning, I thank God for it. But it's not enough to keep you in heaven. I'm going to tell you this again. It's not enough to keep you in heaven. You need your personal time. You need fellowship. You need to dwell in fellowship. Because your barriers will not only affect your relationship with people. Because when you have barriers, it keeps you, barriers isolate you. I don't know for you, but in my life, when I'm not right with God, I want to isolate from people. I want to remove myself from people. So your barriers will not affect just your relationship with people, but also with God. And vice versa. Until your walls come down, you cannot really reach the heart of God. And that's what the women did in this story. She reaches, she touches the heart of Christ. And as a church, we want to touch God's heart. When you encounter God, you touch his heart. Not next week, but the week after Easter, I'm going to continue with this message. Because my next point is, I go to David. You remember David? Because that's my next point right here. Michael, contempt for David. She didn't know where David came from. She didn't know the story of David. David, the ark of the Lord's, is being moved from one city to the next, and David's dancing. I know where I come from. I don't know what the song was, but David's just delighting himself in the Lord. And finally, there's a time during David's worship and praising God, he took his coat off. And the Bible says, Michael looked at him, felt ashamed. She says, well, king, you're a king. Come on, man, you're a king. You know, you should be looking kingly. Kingly, you know. Pastors don't dance. We do this. How great. No. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my story. You don't know. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would be nothing. You don't know. If it wasn't for my encounter with Jesus, I would not have a marriage. You don't know, if it wasn't for Jesus, I would not be a good preacher, a good pastor. I would not be a good father. I would not be a good friend. So I will not let the rock outpraise me. And that's what Jerry wrote this morning. It's like, as Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people were shouting, Hosanna! To the King of Israel. Don't let the rock outpraise you. You know, and this morning, I want to give you guys a chance to remove your barriers. You don't have to come to the altar. But wherever you're at, whatever barriers, if you need prayer, yes, I want to pray for you. But I pray this morning what I said to your spirit made sense. I pray that you understand the principle of the alabaster jar. The women gave it all. And Jesus gave it all. He gave all to us. And he's expecting all of us. Amen?